9 provinces, South African stories, people's voices. EWN's Elections 2024 starts now.
And our EWN reporters are spread out across the length and breadth of this land. 37 days left before we all go to the polls. We've been giving you updates on what they are finding. We've been to Mpumalanga, we have been to Northwest, we've been to KZN, we've been to the Eastern Cape, we've even done Gauteng. Today, we're going to take a step back perhaps and look at the broader picture in terms of the electioneering map. We've got one or two more provinces to go. I'm pleased to tell you, Tsidi Madia, our EWN political editor, joins us now. Tsidi, let's focus on this leaked edia, this leaked audio from the ANC. This was an NEC meeting, their National Executive Committee meeting, talking about what their election plans and strategy is going to be. More oomph, demands Cyril Ramaphosa.
Good morning, Morgana. Yeah, so the ANC campaign doesn't have the necessary energy or is not being felt on the ground as it should be. That's according to the president. It's also according to Ntumiseni Ntuli, who is the head of elections, who's also heard in that hour-long leaked audio. And the culprits really are the NEC members, the executive committee members of the ANC, who are not coming out, who are leaving ANC volunteers high and dry at engagement where they should be meeting with citizens. Mind you, it was the same in 2019, except he did not have control of that NEC and even have the support of that NEC as he does now.
This is now President Cyril Ramaphosa. What does that tell you? Is it your sense that many NEC members have essentially thrown in the towel here?
I think that self-interest continued to preoccupy a lot of people in the ANC. In fact, in political spaces, I think at a time like this, often what you've seen in the past is an ANC that's able to come together and focus on the bigger picture. If elections are the big issue, that's what you would often see. And so to hear that they're not, it's not happening at the NEC level is quite interesting. I'd also make an argument that it's not happening as well as it should be at provincial level. We are in Gauteng and I battle to find ANC programs. I see them sometimes on social media, but you call the ANC in Gauteng, you say, hey, where are your leaders today? And you will not get answers. You have to actually dig. We had to dig to find out where's the chairperson of the ANC this weekend, who we found on Sunday. That's information alerts that should be easily available in the election. So I think people get so preoccupied in self-interest that they fail to look at the bigger picture. One would imagine the ANC's machinery would have kicked into full swing and everybody would be on the same page. There's also the issue around communication, Bongani, where the communication division of the ANC is not what it used to be. You look at it and you ask yourself what is happening, and what you hear are internal politics have gotten in the way of the work. So all those issues get in the way of a basic task, really, of backing the ANC's leadership in campaigning. What I have been seeing, though, are the officials of the party being out and about. Ramaphosa, Gwede Mantashe, Yonuvula Mokonyane have been in different provinces pretty much every weekend, including Fikile Mbalula campaigning.
These are, of course, the top seven members. It's really interesting that you talk about self-interest, because usually the ANC elections juggernaut is a huge machine. And whatever self-interest people may be thinking about, it's usually put aside because, as you say, the bigger picture means if the party gets over the line, then everybody stands to benefit. Is it your suspicion, perhaps, that money could be an issue here, that the war chest simply is not enough to get people out in the way that we are used to?
So the ANC has been denying it, but if you listen to that audio, leaked audio, you actually hear Ramaphosa saying the issue of funding is being resolved. Money will be coming through, although it is slow. There's questions around posters, and some of us have asked, where are ANC posters? You have not been seeing as many out and about as you would normally, again, in previous elections. And Ramaphosa says, no, we're going to get those. But he then says, we shouldn't even be printing the manifestos. We must print leaflets, because then you leave people with that. So I do think that there is an issue of money. He then further says the Treasurer General, Dr. Gwen Ramukopa, is working on resources, and that all of them, as the top officials, are working on securing more resources. So absolutely, Bongani, funding would have been an issue, is an issue in these elections.
One of the things he's at pains to explain in that audio is that the election campaign cannot be a one-man job. And I'm curious, because even Julius Malema has weighed in on this leaked audio, suggesting essentially that if the ANC does perform poorly, Cyril Ramaphosa's head will be on the block.
I think that's the case for every leader in as far as the established parties are concerned. John Steenhuisen has what happened to Musi Maimane in 2019 to deal with. Musi Maimane delivered. So since Helen Zille, I'm just going to start with the DA. Well, since Helen Zille, every DA leader has managed to do something. Helen got the Western Cape. Musi got the metros, but Musi's failure in 2019 pretty much led to his exit. So John Steenhuisen has that pressure to live up to. Julius Malema is the face and the only person really who campaigns for his party. He's got an elective conference in December. Should the EFF perform badly, he must answer to that as he seeks re-election. Cyril Ramaphosa, I think his back has been against the wall many times in the ANC. If the ANC goes under and into coalitions on his watch, you best believe that people then within the organization who will believe that they're better suited to take over and that he's not ideal. This is a man who Fikile Mbalula has admitted attempted to walk away from the job. This is a man who's been described as quiet quitting for a really long time. Again, when I look at his campaign, I still say in 2019, he really was alone. I followed him quite extensively. He really was alone on the campaign trail. And there was an attempt, even in 2019, to blame him for the reduced margins. So absolutely, I see if the ANC does badly, they'll blame it on him. He is the face of the campaign. But as he's pointing out, it's not a one-man show. Everybody has to pretty much pull their weight. Dumisani Ntuli, in part of the battle plan, speaks about splitting the NEC members across different wards. And it is in that where they believe voter contact will assist them. But that can't happen if the only person really leading the campaign is the president and about five of his top officials.
I noticed also that they want to focus on Limpopo, the Eastern Cape, and Mpumalanga as the provinces that are going to get them over the line. And there they're looking for numbers that seem quite a stretch in terms of what they want to achieve. Will they do it?
An absolute stretch. The ANC hasn't achieved 80% in any of those provinces. Those three provinces are their strongholds. In 2019, they got 75% in Limpopo. That was the best performing province for the ANC. They got 70 in Mpumalanga and I think 65, 68 in the Eastern Cape. To target 80% in those provinces is a stretch, but they are trying to guard those jealously to make sure that nothing goes wrong. But again, it'll go down to service delivery because South Africans, Bongani, are also looking at issues. You've heard the provincial features. South Africans are looking at this, the quality of life in their provinces, and they'll be voting with that in mind. It's not just a question of loyalty and the fact that it's been a stronghold. So to target 80% to shoulder the ANC, I think it is quite ambitious and rather difficult when your campaign is sluggish as it is.
I wonder what that tells us about the ANC's attitude towards Gauteng and particular KZN, whether those provinces are no longer as assured as would have been the case in the past. Tidi Madia, appreciate your analysis and your reporting. Tidi Madia is EWN's political editor.